This morning we're in Psalm 121, Psalm 121. If you were with us last week, we began a new series in the Psalms of Ascent, those psalms that were the pilgrim psalms, the traveling psalms, as at festival time, at times of worship and going to Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles or Day of Atonement, the Israelites would sing as they ascended the hill of God. They would sing these psalms as preparation for worship. Now, some of you prepared for worship this morning. But there's a great distraction in our day to prepare for worship. There's always a radio to turn on, or earphones to put in, or iPads to look at, or iPhones and chats to answer. And when we ascend to God, there is this preparation to meet God. And these psalms were used to awaken in the worshiper a heart for God. Now, last week I told you in Psalm 120, it was probably a psalm that few had ever really reflected on unless you just spend a lot of time in the Psalms. It's not generally one of those psalms that would be in your top 10. But the goal of Psalm 120 is to enliven in our hearts a holy discontent, a divine discontent with the world around us, that we might turn from the world and turn towards God. But the psalm we're going to read this morning may fit in many top 10 lists in the room. The great George Whitefield, the evangelist, English evangelist to America, would pray this particular psalm every day as he traveled. It definitely makes my top 10 list. I wonder if it makes yours, because it reminds us where our help, where our security lies in God. And so if you would, please pray with me as we ask God to keep us this morning. Please pray. Our Father in heaven, we are indeed thankful that we can turn to you, that we can cast our eyes heavenward, and that we can rest in your goodness. Father, we need you. And oftentimes we don't realize how much we need you, but we need you every second of our lives. And we need you in these minutes to come. Would you open in our heart a path for the word? And would you comfort and convict and give us a sense of your greatness, even as we seek you in your word by your spirit? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 121, a song of ascents. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. You know, kids are a great study. It is oftentimes in our house, as we have learned, kids learn when they need something, and they will often come to mom and dad and ask for help. Being a family that has five kids, we have the spectrum. So some of my older kids rarely ask for help anymore. They are bigger and stronger and faster, and sometimes I have to ask them for help. They have begun to excel me in many ways, except I'm still meaner, so they have to listen to me. But our young kids, when they come to us, they often know that there's much that they can't do, and so they will ask for help. As a matter of fact, when our kids were small, when they were desiring to communicate and yet didn't have the words to communicate, we would often teach them sign language. I'm sorry. It was the sign that was often used in our house. Kids sin well before they can speak well of it. They often have needs, and so they would come and they would say, please, please. But one of the signs that happened most often with our kids was a sign for help. This is sign language for help. And as a matter of fact, one of our kids, Christopher, he would walk through the door as a young kid, a 12 or 13 month old, and he'd walk through the door just doing this. Help, 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 help. And I never once condemned that. I never once came down on my young son or any of my children for seeking help. Why? Because a father loves to meet the needs, the true needs of his children. And really, that's what the psalmist is getting here in our text. There is a need in our soul. Every one of us has a need in our soul for God. It's not always enlivened in our mind. It's not always the first thought that we have. But we have a need, and sometimes God will do things that will turn our attention towards Him, and all we can do is say, help. And the great news of the Bible is that we have a keeping, guardian God who loves us, has loved us in the death and resurrection of His Son that we may enjoy life, who bids us to come near and reminds us that we belong. You ever have those moments where your soul is distressed, where your world is falling apart, where there are things happening in your life that you realize you have little to no control over? Where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. Our God meets us. In the psalmist is reminding us how. The psalmist is reminding us why we can always turn to the Lord. We need a day-to-day help because turmoil, trouble, distraction, disaster can happen at any turn. And you're caught off guard, and I am too at times. But the good news is God is never caught off guard. We want to be in control of our lives, and sometimes we realize we're not. But God is always in control of life, and He is our hope. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth, that Lord who safely keeps us and securely keeps us. I want you to see this morning, as it were, along the perilous path. As we walk in life, there is a perilous path in our pilgrimage that we can depend upon God to see us through. As the Israelites ascended the hill of the Lord, as they made their way up to Jerusalem to worship God, it was often considered a perilous path. You just have to think of the parable of the Good Samaritan. There were distractions and there were potential disasters along the way. But God was intent in bringing His people into His presence. And so He could see, and He could care, and He does. God cares for His people. And I want you to remember that progress in the Christian journey works only along the lines of the truth that God keeps us. Again and again, what is the hope of the psalmist in our psalm? That God keeps, that God cares, that God journeys with us. Even as He journeys before us. And so verses 1 through 4 this morning, I want you to see that God keeps us safely. We are kept safely by our God. He does not slumber. He does not slip. We often slumber and slip. We often wear out and get weary. But God never wears out. And God is never weary. Some years ago, when Carabeth was about 18 months, we were with our boys in Carabeth. We were in the Great Smoky Mountains near Tennessee. Those are my favorite mountains. They're the most visited mountains in the United States. I love going there because I love looking upon the mountains. They remind me of my childhood. And so we were in the Smoky Mountains, and we were with some friends from seminary, and we were working our way through some water and came upon some slippery rocks. Now, in the way the water moves in the mountain, there's always slippery rocks. Now, Carabeth was about 18, 20 months at that point, And she had decided that she was going to make her own way. And she was walking through very shallow water upon very slippery rocks. And so I reached down to grab her hands because I was really concerned about her footing. I didn't want her to slip. I didn't want her to slide. I didn't want her to bust. I didn't want her to fall. I mean, you can understand that for a dad, for a young child. And so we are making our way, and we came to a place where there were some pools, and they would have been over Carabas Head. So I grabbed a little tighter, and people were playing in the water, and she wanted to play in the water. And at one point, she went to pull away, and as we were upon the slippery rocks, when she pulled, I pulled back, and I corrected a little too much. As she pulled forward, I pulled back, I corrected a little too much. And you know what happened to me? Big me, by the way. Feet out from under me. But I did not let go of Carabeth's hand. And you know what happened to Carabeth? It was like a slingshot. My feet went out from under me. My body went up. I came down with a thump, and Carabeth went up. And I was still holding her, and I was watching her. And she came down on top of me and beside me. And she stood up, and she looked at me. And she had this horrified look in her face. And I was humiliated. All the people around were going, psh, 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 psh. Her head was hurting. The part of her body that had hit me was the bottom part, and her head had kind of hit the ground. And I felt like the worst dad that ever existed in all the world. At that moment, I was humiliated. The very task that I had set my heart to protect my little girl, I had failed. And some of us worry that maybe God's grip isn't as good as He says it is. And so the psalmist comes and reminds us that God does not slip, that God does not slumber. Pastor Wade may fail in his daddy business, his work as a father, but God will not fail as a father to His children. I lift my eyes to the Lord. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Verse 3, He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Notice here. The goal is for us to see our need of God, but to see God's supply for us. And so as we get our eyes up, then our feet become firm. Eyes up, feet firm, because God guides. The guardian God directs us. You know, we look up to the Lord because the Lord looks over us. But that's a challenge for you. There are times, I'm sure, when you live your life like I live my life, I want to insulate myself in what I call my bubble. Any of y'all have your bubble? Your protection zone, you need a little space. From uncomfortable people. You need a little space from the world around you. You like to insulate and build your boundaries around you. You like to build them around your family. You try to protect yourself from the world. You try to protect yourself from people. You try to protect yourself from problems. And I'll tell you what God's Word tells you if you read it much. You're not very good at that. That's not God's goal, for us just to protect and self-protect all the time. No, our hope is that God protects. It's not my bubble that secures my life and keeps me safe. It's the fact that in Christ we are claimed and God keeps us. And so we get our eyes up there in verse 1 and 2. I lift my eyes to the hills. Now, the hills were the traditional place of worship. Everybody in the ancient Near East went up when they went to worship. But this set of hills is in the psalmist's mind is a representation. It's a metaphor for the presence of God because these psalms are the ascent psalms for going and making trek to Jerusalem, the city of peace with the presence of God. The psalmist is looking up. He is casting his eyes towards the Lord. Who has made heaven and earth. The maker and the maintainer. That's who has him. He will set his attention upon God because God cares for him. You know, when we struggle, we generally get our eyes down. We get to looking in. And God says, look up. Seek and see my presence. You know, as a soccer coach in practice, one of the most common things I say as I work with kids as they're working on their skill sets and learning to dribble, learning to pass, I will say, eyes up. Eyes up. They've got to learn not to always look at the ball. They've got to look at the field. And in one sense, that's what God is doing. He is encouraging us not to just pay attention to what's in front of us, what's at our feet, but to pay attention to what's before us, because He has made Himself available. Lift our eyes to the hills, because God is ours. We are His and He is ours. And He can be counted on. He who is our Maker maintains. And I want you to know this morning, if you're struggling, you cannot evict God from your life. If you are hurting, you cannot go it alone. If you are in struggle, in tragedy, known or unknown to those who are sitting near you, you cannot get there without Him. Not where you want to be. You need Him most. Don't evict God from your view. Cast your eyes upon the Lord. Why? Because He can give you firm footing even in trying times, as you rest upon His grace. Notice there, it is not just that we put our eyes on the Lord. He, God, will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. God is watchful. God is watchful. He is wakeful and He is watchful over His children. And though you get tired, He does not. And though you can be overthrown, He cannot be. And though you may hurt, He comforts. It's God who carries the day. And that's the heart of the psalmist. As he prepares his heart to worship, he wants to behold the God who keeps and brings His people into His presence. Notice there, he moves from I lift my eyes to the Lord to what God is doing for His people. Who will not let your, that's a corporate identity, the identity of His people. He won't let them be moved. He will bring them into His presence and He will rejoice over them. And it is our hope that God keeps us safely. Our eyes are upon Him, but more importantly, the psalm would teach us, His eyes are upon us. Our God takes care of His children. All right, children, I need a little help. This really is one of the truths we try to inculcate, try to teach, try to put in our children's heart at an early age. Why? Because it's essential to life, to remember that we can trust God. All right, children, you got to speak up. Who made you? All right. You hear that? Who made you? God. What else did God make? That's right. God made all things. Why did God make you and all things? For His own glory. What about the next question there? How can you glorify God? Oh, speak up. What is it? By loving Him and doing what He commands. Very good. One more question, kids. You ready? Why ought you to glorify God? You hear that? You hear that? He makes me and He takes care of me. This is a truth from the youngest to the oldest that is necessary for your soul. Why ought we glorify God? Because He makes me and takes care of me. What truth needs to invade our soul again and again? You know, trust is essential. Every day is a day in an adventure to walk by faith. Because He loves us. And He made us. And He takes care of us. It's this truth that captivates the psalmist, the one who worships God. And it is to captivate us as well. Not only are we taught in this psalm that we are kept safely, I want you to see that we are kept securely. God keeps His children. It's really the key word in the text, isn't it? Did you notice that? For those of you who will write in your Bible, why don't you go through? Mark up your Bible a little bit here and mark all the ways that God keeps. He keeps. Why? Because there in verse 5, the Lord your keeper. Why does He keep? Because that's His nature. It could be rightly translated there that our guardian God keeps us. The Lord, our guardian and guide, keeps us. That's the hope of our security. Now, we got all kinds of security problems in our world, don't we? I mean, if you went to Target on Christmas, the day after Thanksgiving, on Black Friday, you got a little notice like I did. Security breach. If you're on Google, you might know they're always changing their privacy settings, and others are as well. Why? Because there's all kinds of problems with internet security right now. Somebody later will help me understand the heart bleed problem. But it's going around. There's all kinds of security issues in our world. And our world works on fear. It works off of insecurity. It seeks to drive home the point that you're not secure, that you're not safe. But the Bible says that we are, as we rest in God. You know, trusted systems fail. Trusted people lie. Trusted institutions fumble the ball all the time. But God doesn't. Notice, day and night. Day and night He cares for His people. From that which is seen and unseen, He cares for His people. Where is our hope? That's the question in the psalmist. Where does our hope come from? It comes from the Lord, who is secure and promises our security. This is personal and it's powerful. Actually, three times in this text, there where you see the word L-O-R-D in capital letters in your translation, that's likely the translation for the word Yahweh, God's covenant promise. He Himself comes near. And where it talks about Him being a keeper eight times in this psalm, that's the reference to His guidance, His guardianship over us. God keeps us. He is personal and powerful in our journey. And so we pursue Him. He sustains and He strengthens. Here's what we can take great comfort, that God is with us and that He shades us and He shelters us. Notice there in verse 5 and 6, the Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. You know, some of us fear what is seen and some of us fear what is unseen. Some of us fear what we know is coming and some of us fear what we don't know is coming. Day and night, God is on watch and God is guarding. He is guarding us, we're told in verse 7, from all evils. He will keep our life because we belong to Him. He sustains us. He protects us. And His protection is far-reaching. He strengthens us. He keeps us going. Notice there in verse 8, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from now and to forever, from this time forth and forevermore. As a matter of fact, if you take some time this week and you study this psalm, what you'll see is that the whole psalm moves from present to future, present to future. It's as if God's grace, His heavenly grace, washes into our presence, and that's what fuels us to walk forward into the future, because God has us. Our security rests with Him. Dangers assail us, but God is our help. It's the same truth that Paul wanted us to get in Romans 8. When he talks about how not all things are good, but how God works all things together for good. When he comes to the hope that we have of life eternal, he reminds us there in verse 34 of chapter 8 in the book of Romans. He who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to the slaughter. No. No. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor heights nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. How secure? Very secure. Abundantly secure. Because our God strengthens us. He's got us on belay, so to speak. How many of y'all have rock climbed? Anybody? Yeah, if you've been snoozing, wake up. Y'all been rock climbing? You know, it'd be crazy to climb a big old rock if you weren't on belay, wouldn't it? You ever been in one of those outfits where you go rock climbing and they put you in this harness, you put it around your hips and they hook you in to a system of pulleys, and some guy at the bottom of the hill, he's got you. And you put on that harness and they check you out, and I want them to check me out. Matter of fact, I want two people to hold me when I climb. And so they put you on the wire, so to speak, and they clip you in, and as you're getting ready, safety is of a concern, and so you clip in the carabiner and you say belay on, and they say on belay. And then before you take a step up that hill, you pronounce what your intentions are, and you say climbing, and they say climb on. And you'll start up that mountain a little bit, if you're anything like me, that is. You'll start up a little bit, and you'll get a little confidence going, and you'll be assailing those rocks, and you think you've got that, and you look down, and then fear grips your soul, and then you realize it isn't as comfortable as you thought it was. And all the slack's gone in the line as you begin to tumble. And yet they have you. You were secure the whole time. Even when you thought you were moving at your own pace, there was another who had their hand upon you, had your safety and your security in their sights. It's a fit metaphor for the life of the believer. You know, spiritual progress is up and down in every one of our lives. No one makes a straight line B towards holiness. If you're afraid of becoming a Christian because they all look better, sound better, smell better than you, they're hiding things. None of us walk towards heaven without the protection and the need of God to hold us fast, hold us securely. There's no straight line pursuits in holiness. But God intends there to be pursuits. And He keeps us as we tread the path towards godliness. God strengthens because God keeps. And here's the big point to the psalmist. God is always watching out for us. You need a psalm like this because you need to remember that God is enthroned and that He can't be unseated. And when you slip and fall, you need not fear that God is forgotten, for He is with you. He will sustain you. He will strengthen you. That's the hope of the church. And friend, I pray that's your hope today. God has us in His hand. We need one religion that trusts God wholly. I know it's dangerous, but I'm going to end with a quote because I find that Peterson, Eugene Peterson, says well what we want to sum up today. And that is that in our life towards God, we need a total dependence upon God. One glorious religion to guard us where we keep our trust in Him. And in page 44 of his book, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, it might be a helpful commentary as we study the Psalm of Ascents. He writes this: the great danger of Christian discipleship is that we should have two religions. A glorious biblical Sunday gospel that sets us free from the world, that is in the cross and the resurrection of Christ, made alive eternity in us. A magnificent gospel of Genesis and Romans and Revelation, and then an everyday religion that we make do with the week between the times of leaving the world and arriving in heaven. We save the Sunday gospel for the big crisis of existence, for the mundane trivialities, the times when our feet slip and on loose stones, or the heat of the sun gets too much for us, or the influences of the moon get us down. We use the everyday religion of the Reader's Digest reprints, the advice from a friend, an Ann Landers column, or the huckster's wisdom on the talk show celebrities. You see what Eugene Peterson is getting at there? Is that we need a gospel that keeps us before the Lord. He who watches over us calls us always to keep our eyes watching for Him. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, You and You alone are our God. And we pray that You would shower Your guardian love upon us this day, that we might know we are kept safely and securely in the grace of our Lord. It's in Jesus' gracious and holy name we pray. Amen.